how do you make sure that the person can still, for those who need to have obligations back at home? So these are some of the things that we're trying to understand, you know, in detail so that we can provide a solution of making sure that we retain as many of those that are at undergraduate level. And then, Honorable Bella, you talk about the internship. I'll ask Moneni to talk about that. We don't have a spread of these 23, I don't have them now, of the 23 municipal districts where we provide the sanitation technologies. Again, Honorable Chair, we can get over the part to give all the details and submit the information through to you. However, last year there was a program that Melinda Gates had in India, for instance, on the toilets, for instance. And they had a fair of these toilets in India, apparently. Almost 150 alternative sanitation technologies that people are developing all over the world, and therefore we are working with them to select one or two that we think are relevant in South Africa, and then we pilot them, but we're happy to provide a detail of where these are being implemented. Honorable Mlambo, on maths and science at school and spread nationally, we can't give you the number, we can ask from the NRF. But the South African Agency for the Advancement of Science and Technology, which is an agency of the NRF, is supposed to work across all provinces, but we'll give you the exact detail on trying to get medicine. Not only will we give you the detail, but also the programs that they are driving in order to get youngsters to be excited in medicine science. Placement of internship, this Honorable Chairman, and you can do that. And yes, on the enterprise risk management, not only are we happy that we have them, we are now with the leadership of GDG Corporate Services, Mugwena, trying to translate the passive documents of risk management into a tool that will tell you whether the risks that we had in the document, did we manage them, and if we manage them, how did you mitigate against this? So we are trying to work with a company that does digitization of the business environment to help us to move this process from a static document that you sign up and then you probably never go back to it when you are busy during the day. So we are really trying to develop the best practices in this area. But indeed, they are very, very useful together with the internal audits to give us the A1. On the PIMS performance information, I'll ask Honorable Nambu Ihlo to do that, and then Modin will talk about the ICR. The waste sector survey, one of the initiatives that we are having in the department is to try and understand our waste challenge. So together with the Department of Environmental Affairs, we conducted a survey to just find out the amount of waste that we generate and where are the largest, if you like, areas where we collect this waste. And then with a view to come up with other technologies that we can use to manage waste better. So there's a whole program in Program 5 that is looking at waste management, alternative ways of minimizing, including how you can convert some of the waste into useful products. In Program 2, there's a program at the University of Fort Hare where they are converting and they are digesting waste from food and farms into energy, for instance. So this is what this program is trying to do, to look at some science and technology solutions to address the waste problem. So Honorable Chair, with your permission, may I then ask Mr. Morfitt to deal with the issues of the international cooperation-related questions, the internship questions, and then maybe at that point, Nale could come in and add on the GST intents, and then I'll hand over to GDG Corporate Services Mugwena to talk about the information management system. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members. The first question relates to whether there has been or there has been impact on the 24 institutions that didn't receive the funding as they were supposed to. There definitely was an impact because the funding goes into assisting in the filing of patents and the various claims that relate to the exploitation of the IP. So the impact has been that the institutions affected could not file their patents as much as they would have if the funding was short. So that is why we took a decision that rather than just saying they lost out, we risk getting the payment. So the payment will be processed in this current financial year to make sure that there is a process of catching up. I will then move to the question of the outcome two, the role of the department in the work of outcome two. I'm going to provide an expansion on the number of initiatives that we support that came to health innovation. One of them being the role in the state vaccine company, BioVac, where in the current financial year, for example, the department has taken over the shareholdership from health, which put the shareholding at around 47.5%. And what we are now trying to do is to look at bringing online some very critical vaccines and drugs, especially those that relate to dealing with issues of child mortality. So that in our view, would be quite crucial. And then there are other lines of drugs that we also want to bring online that regard. Honourable members might also be aware that there were a number of announcements regarding the breakthroughs that were made in the area of HIV and drugs research, also the job. This is the work that we've been supporting. And what we have done in that work was we also managed to secure partnerships with, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a strong partnership with the U.S. Institute of Health. And actually, the biggest funding that this program provides outside of the U.S. in health research is in South Africa. And this is because of the quality of research work that gets done here, that kind of work. So we're quite excited about it. We've also made a breakthrough in terms of the development of a candidate drug for malaria. It's going to be really a first coming out of the developing country, and we're quite excited about it now in clinical trials, and hopefully it goes through all the stages and it can draw it out to deal with the problem of malaria. That was part of the work that we sponsored at the University of Cape Town. Then we're also doing a lot of work around TB. Again, TB is one area where the best research in the world is probably done here in South Africa. Actually, we are now, as I'm talking, just about to receive the best researcher from the US who's relocated to be working in government institutions. Now, people don't do that because they feel sorry for you. They do that because they know that there's value in being partners with you. So we are quite also pleased with that. Then in both areas, HIV, TB, we are also developing various diagnostics. And these are not your typical diagnostic technology that you have, but those that will be resilient enough to be utilized in your rural areas, where one of the challenges that we picked up is that when you diagnose, you are also able to manage, and that's where you actually save lives. Now, if a person is going to come from the rural area, pay 100 cents to go and be diagnosed, and be told to come back to share the results, I bet you they're not going to do it. But the kind of diagnostics that we're looking at developing, what that we are actually developing, some of them are interested, we hopeful that one will be launched in the next year, is those that should go into people. You do the diagnosis, you provide the results, and then you can actually, where the counseling is needed, do that. So they actually don't have to release that anyway. So that is really our one, some of our areas of contribution in terms of outcomes too. Then the $300 million rand fund that we secure from international sources, that needs to be divided into the funding that comes directly to run programs in the department in partnership with our various international partners. But the bulk of it will actually it actually doesn't even come to our bank account as a department. So it's funding that we work with our international partners, and after securing it, it goes to our institutions, our universities, and they can then negotiate how the scheduling of spend is going to happen. In most cases, it will provide a period of, say, 3 years or so. So that basically is how that funding is utilized. And there are very strict regulations in terms of how the that funding is monitored in terms of spend. Firstly, the first line will be ourselves. Secondly, it will be the partners themselves. The bulk of that comes from the European Union, so we've got themselves a very strict what you call the process of monitoring. In terms of the graduates that we are able to identify opportunities for trade, these are mainly exposure programs. So you don't have, the bulk of them don't go and study there and they stay, but it's programs where either they are sandwiched so that you register in certain institution, and it's a partnership with the institution abroad. So you really do part of the work abroad. You get exposed to the best facilities there, you get trained and you come back. In fact, again, I refer to this being the bulk with the EU, the requirement is that you definitely have to go back to your country of origin to work if you are part of those programs. Some of them are areas that are completely new to us, such as we're now building capacity around innovation and technology entrepreneurship. So the short course is where we identify opportunities for African students to go abroad to have this exposure and to come back. So that's basically where some of those happen. The issue of internships and graduates now, we've got different types of internships. I'm going to be speaking about the internships that are looking at enhancing the employability of science graduates in industry. And here we've got a partnership with the Davis Institute, where they have a long list of technology-based companies. And it is these companies where we send the students to get exposure. Now, there is a split sense of the employability or how they are employed. The figure that we have is that at least about 26 to 30% get absorbed by the companies that have hosted them. And then the bulk of them would get employment in different companies. And what's exciting in this initiative is that it is not really, the program is holistic. It looks at training them on the job in terms of just the technicality of the job, but it also trains them even in other software skills like, you know, as an employee, how do you manage your finances? And it also includes other courses for those who, after this, because they are technology-based, they might want to follow technology entrepreneurship. There are also opportunities for them to do some specified courses in entrepreneurship so that they can go out there and create employment. So that's really basically the questions. I think if I haven't answered all these, you remind me to do that.
Thanks,
Chairperson.
In terms of the internship students, for now, these ones are actually based within the department. For the past financial year, we recruited around 40 of them for the financial year 2013-14. And then of those 40, the 5 of them, we actually absorbed them internally, that is, they actually found permanent employment within the department itself. These students are placed across all different programs, from Program 1 up to until Program 5, supporting core program and also support program, with the main intention that we then give them workplace experience as required by the International Skills Development Act, and then let them to other areas where they're supposed to be going. 9 of those interns, in the middle of their program, they actually left the program because what we do, we subject them to rigorous training and also a very intensified program that they have. So like the other internship that is of a different kind, which is also offered by the department, they go through the very same thing. So at the end of the program, we only have 26 of those. that actually exited the program, but of those, we do track them in terms of where they are. Most of them are currently employed because we can't, as we all know, we can't keep all of the interns within the department, but we do track them and we know where they are. And most of them, we then put them on either on the database of the Department of Labor or the currently we trying a partnership with the different companies in terms of NGOs, because there are NGOs that are looking for, especially on certain areas of internships where they can trace and train them on those areas.
Thanks, Tishi. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Our PIF, as we call it, the Performance Information Management System, was truly a DST idea. We generated the system from scratch with an assistance from some expertise from the service provider. There are departments that have shown interest. One of them is one of our entities. We have already procured the system already. We have Department of Home Affairs, Social Development, I think Agriculture as well, are showing interest in the process of procuring. SANSA has procured already.
Thanks, Chair. I think we've covered all of them.
Thank you. If there is outstanding one, feel welcome to send it out. I know you have. To respond in writing to us. Because I didn't recall all of the question and recorded to see whether you had answer all the questions. Any case, can I give, I'm going to give Honorable Smith an opportunity to ask the question.
Thank you, Chair.
Is there any other if, no way.
Honorable Chair, I want to know, this is actually more of interest, is I've seen that there's been developments in the Netherlands on solar walkways and you know, like bicycle lanes and stuff. And a while ago I saw on the social networks also this solar roads, which some certain group is busy looking at. It's almost in the shape of a beehive, you know, that fits into each other. And I want to know if the department is maybe doing research in terms of that, because I think it will be very good for our country, firstly because we sit with an energy crisis, and secondly, the cost of roads, of building tar roads, has become so expensive that it might be viable to look at such an alternative to power that. And I mean the possibilities for that is great. So I don't know if the department is looking at that, because I heard earlier you are working on solar energy, and if not, maybe that is some interesting direction which we can look into. Thank you.
Thank you,
department. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Moffat to respond specifically to the question. The answer is yes, we can research, we're not doing it. But maybe to share a few minutes, Honorable Chair, on our renewable energy research and development program, including the launch of the day of fuel cell.
Thanks very much. The question by the Honorable Chair, specifically, no, we're not doing it. But in terms of what we're doing in the renewable energy side, let me start solar. We've got a number of programs that we support in the area of solar. Firstly, I think it's important here to mention that there's a company called PTIP, which manufactures special solar panels. And this is a company that originates from the funding that goes back, I think, to the late 90s. So it's now at a stage where it has got a small commercial pilot here in the Senegal. And the technology is quite advanced in that it is not like this one where you just every time need a full exposure sunlight. So it's quite an advanced technology. So we've done something. And finally, we've just finalized the work of doing what we call the solar atlas. We're working with the Weather Services. in identifying those parts of the country where it is best to put the solar plants. Part of the work, even before it was finalized, informed some of the solar establishments that we're seeing in the Northern Cape. And we also are hoping that this work is going to really be very crucial as we look into order to allay some of the challenges we have in the energy sector. Now, the other areas, yesterday the DG was officially launching a pilot that we now launched at the University of the Western Cape. Come out again out of the technologies that we're developing around alternative energy sources. And the pilot is now being used to see how it's going to work in park, the game around UWC in terms of lighting, etc. If this, I mean, let me tell you, we do this for about 4 months, and if it's successful, then we look at how that can be rolled out. The target, obviously, will be the first one looking at household, and then depending on how the technology grows, then we can be able to stack the various batteries together, maybe it can go into more than just that. But we, part of the technology is looking at mobility, like your golf cars, your bicycles, etc. And the technology we're looking at is really about enhancing the range. For example, how do you go further than what the current technology are doing, so that at least you can have the technology to be more adaptive. So, and I think we also have just, we're in the process of signing an agreement as well with the post office and with Transnet to pilot and test some of these technologies around. The post office will be on their delivery, mail delivery scooters and other vehicles, and the Transnet is how they can actually put those online in some of their coaches. So there are really opportunities where we see if we get it online, it probably will contribute towards dealing with challenges of energy. And this is really at local level, but internationally I must also mention, because it's very crucial, that we just, through the University of the Western Cape, where one of our centers signed an agreement with Airbus, because they wanted to look at how they can put some of these technologies into their aircraft. Because energy sources, basically looking at the sizing, you want to have light tanks of energy in your aircraft rather than just carry on heavy load. So that partnership for us is very exciting because it does show that they have picked up the kind of outcomes that we are producing. So that's really what we're doing, alternative energy in general, but also we've got some work going on also.
Thank you. Any other members? If not, I think from my side, I don't have anything. From my side, I want to thank you, as a department, to really come and do a presentation. As you can see, all of us is quiet, we don't have much things to ask, but we will ensure you next time we will. For my side, I want to wish you, not a member, we will see each other, but if we are not going to see you, we will not be able to see you from our side. I want to wish you a peaceful and I hope that you will have a good time with your family, and that you will have time to rest and spend with your loved ones, and season greetings for you and your loved ones. And thank you for the hard work. I know it's not a full year. We are here only for 6 months, but it already feels like we are here for 4 years, 5 years. But looking forward to work with you in the future. I'm very glad that I'm working with your minister. because you know she is one of those people that I
in our work. Thank you.